My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Not for the Bills. They play tomorrow, so this is not the middle of the week. This is travel day, you know.
Yeah, this is
week two eve.
This is Saturday.
This is Saturday for the Bills.
It's 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Why am I not having a beer?
Great question. I don't know. That's a you question.
Yeah.
It's rhetorical.
Let me go check the fridge.
Is that what that means? That's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I know why I'm not having a beer, because it's not really Saturday. It doesn't feel like Saturday for me.
Are the night games now just like old hat, whatever that expression actually means? Old hat? I mean, it went from all those years of, please, can I just get a couple Sunday night ever? Is Al ever coming back? All that stuff. And then it got to the point, I mean, pretty fast by 2020, where they were playing a lot of night games. 21, you know. Mm-hmm. Then it's like Sal and his schedule guy talking about how, like, you know, they're free money
on
the schedule.
How many night games are teams allowed to have? How many
right.
Will you schedule them? And then can you leave flexibility to flex them into more and that sort of thing? I don't think it's quite old hat. I mean, I do think at some point, I would say more the year before last than last year, because of the snow and the home game in Detroit, and just it was just very unsettled, and I was craving some stability, you know, just some regularity, I guess. So there's always that, but I still think when the game is approaching, once you get past whatever is convenient or inconvenient for, yourself or thinking about the team and their routine, and whether they're, you know, distracted by the irregularity, it's still awesome to play at night. Like, you just it's still, I think, awesome. Yes. So I don't think
it's old hat.
No, I don't think it's old hat.
Current hat.
I think, you know, like anything that you do a lot that you thought initially was awesome, you know, you may find yourself complaining about this or that about it, but ultimately I would still settle on it's awesome.
That is a good thing in life if you can keep that kind of perspective, because I find that most things are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where something exciting happens, you know, maybe when you're younger, and then the same thing happens a number of times, and it's not, you know, it's
right.
Not as interesting or cool anymore. Good if you can, like, keep it cool.
Yeah.
Keep it interesting.
When the alarm goes at 6 a.m. for a weekday round of golf in June and July, it's like, let's go! Get somebody get the car, and I'll get the coffee out. Nobody else is up. I can't yell to anyone. I'm the only one awake. Although Owen is often up that early now to go to work. Today, the alarm went, I don't know if I really want to play today. Stay in bed. You plow through it.
What do you think that gets you up? Like, what is the thought?
I'll be really mad in an hour if I just lie here.
Yeah. Like mad, or you'll be upset with yourself. You know,
that's what I mean. You know, I'm not going to go. I'm probably not going to go back to sleep. I mean, who am I kidding? Because, you know, even if I roll over and try to, I'm going to be like, I got a tea time. So it's just, you just got to kind of plow through it. But that does start to, there is a more adversity there than there was a couple of months ago.
When it's optional, right. It can be very tempting
and
to just not
today
bother.
I wasn't meeting anyone. Mm-hmm. Right, I didn't have a foursome or a twosome. It was just me. So, you know, if I don't show up, I mean, I don't know. The starter might be like looking at the T-sheet going, oh, where's Parker? But other than that, and I think that he probably wouldn't dwell on that very long, I don't think. But, you know, you get through it. I got up. I went.
So no Raheem Mostert for the Dolphins tomorrow night. We'll talk to Armando Salguero, as we so often do before Bills-Dolphins games. He's more of a national reporter now, but he's Miami, and he's who we call, and it's always good to talk to Armando. So that'll be today. Devon Achane they're calling him Game Time. I saw a report from an onlooker at Dolphins practice today, which, like, it's a walkthrough day. They play tomorrow night, but he seems like he's, you know, participant.
He wasn't in a different jersey or anything, and he did, from what I read, did everything everyone else did. So maybe that's encouraging.
Is it
for them?
Is it too much to say, in terms of the Bills, that this game is kind of a bonus if they get it?
Yeah, I think that's too much. I mean, it's a division team that you battled to week 18 with for the division title last year. And so, I can't get to bonus. I mean, it would sting a lot less if they lost, then, say, if they hadn't managed to get off the mat last week against Arizona. I mean, that's a very different thing. Home opener against a team that you rarely see, and a lot of people aren't thinking that highly of. They're probably better than what people think of Arizona going into the game. But still, that would have really been rancid. Miami is a contending-level team. I think they're... You know, the Bills have had the upper hand on them, but I don't really think of Miami necessarily, especially in the regular season, as on a tier below the Bills. I think they're pretty equal. They haven't beaten as many good teams as the Bills, and they haven't had any playoff success, but that's a team that was in control of the division with 5 weeks to go. We know they blew it, but... You know, they could certainly go win their 10, 11 games again, maybe even 12. They don't play the identical schedule the Bills play. They play the second-place version of the Bills' schedule, so it's a little easier. They don't have to deal with Kansas City. They get who was second in the AFC West last year. I don't even
know. Probably the Raiders.
So, you know, that's good for them. So I'm going to be battling them all year. So I don't think I can afford to look at it like it's a bonus if I get it. But I already said, it's... To me, there's no shame in losing to Miami.
It's the much bigger game for the Dolphins.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know. I want to now question much bigger. But it's just like, I say this all the time. I think we all know this. Just what the Bills have meant to the Dolphins in the last 5 years or whatever. You're just, Miami can't have, you know, any sort of joy unless they get past the Bills in this division for once. Because, like, you know, you're just another team unless you can get to the top. And the Bills are their problem. They have been their problem for years in a period of time where they've been good. Miami goes into this season again. The odds are pretty flattering. People love the coach. Tua is skinny. You know, the speed is all still there. Like,
does he still know how to fall? Did he work on that again this offseason?
I know he lost weight.
Okay.
So... I don't know. It's still week two. No matter what you say about it,
right?
It's always just week two. And sure. Who even remembers week two other years? Like, it's still so early. But Bills lose the game. You play them at home in the middle of the season. And long way to go. You know what happened last year. We were down three with five left. There's no panic or anything
That's
like
right.
that. Miami, I could see, not panic, but just like, here we go again.
Right. Same. Yeah. We're a game behind these guys already. The next time we play them, we'll be up there. And this is now 12 out of the last 13 is what Miami would be staring at. And yeah, there's plenty of time to recover for them too. But I agree. I mean, they are in the position of weakness here. Like they need to establish that they can beat the Bills more than just once every 12 times they play. If you want to really be treated as equals, I mean, I'm giving him that as the game, you know, approaches here, because, you know, record wise they are comparable to the Bills the last couple of years. They've met in the playoffs even, and like we already talked about, duked it out for the division last year, and the Bills had to come from way back to get it. But there's no denying, you've been saying it since, I don't know, when the schedule came out, or certainly in the last like few weeks that we've been together since vacation time ended. This, for Miami, this is, you know, can we do it?
It would be the game on the schedule, I think.
Right.
And, you know, it's early, so, you know, again, acknowledging that all this is sort of narrative stuff, but this is the Dolphins' chance to announce whether anything's different. And if, you know, here, this matchup too, like, you play the game at home, and the Bills, the concern I have for them, and this is probably a lot of people, is like the back seven on defense. Miami is, whether it's Achane or not, you know, it makes a difference, I think, if it is. I don't know how much of a difference Mostert makes, but Hill and Waddle and Tua and that guy, Achane, if he plays, like, that's pretty much the full complement.
It's three of the fastest players in the league that you're going to be dealing with really very much a reformulated back seven.
At least the Bills had, if they weren't fast, you know, last year, previous years in the secondary, they were experienced against that team. And, you know, a lot of this game might come down to pass pressure like it often is. But I'm sort of worried about this. I did, as I do on Wednesdays, Matthew Collar's podcast this morning, Purple Insider, about the Vikings, and he has me on to talk fantasy, and we do these underdog pick'em contests. And two things about this. So for all the talk, and we have done a lot of it last couple days, about how dramatically lower passing yards were in week one, like a big drop, the lowest average.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Passing yard total week one in at least 25 years. I mean, just crazy. So with that, Tua went for like 336. And he scored 20 points, but he went for 336. He did not have this particular challenge. And that's, you know, when Tyreek Hill can just run away from everybody 80 yards,
that helps
obviously helps. Right. And the Bills really don't have that, or they, you know, they might not. They didn't have it last week.
Well, they definitely, they haven't had someone as fast as Tyreek Hill or Waddle or Devin Achane this whole window that's, you know, been the contending Super Bowl window they're in. They haven't had a guy that was really that fast. I don't think, unless maybe Hardy was that fast, but he barely played last year.
Yeah.
So they've never, you know, so they don't even really get to practice against that. You know, like that, I've heard Steve Tasker on the show that's on, you know, before us here, One Bills Live, on weekdays, say this quite, like, you just don't, the speed is so jarring once you get there. Even for guys that have seen it, like, and have played against it, it just is another level. You know, I guess it depends, some of that perspective depends on when you play them. You've already played a game, you played a normal team that doesn't have those three dudes on it, and now you're going to go get on the field, and that's what's coming at you. And it's, you know, all the motion and misdirection and all that stuff, too, coupled with the speed. You know, it's a lot. I think they're just looking to confuse you, like just mess with your eyes, even if it just causes a moment of hesitation or confusion. That can be all you need when you've got that kind of speed. It's lethal.
On that underdog pick'em contest thing, Tua's over under or high or lower, they call it over there, same as what you'd see on like the betting apps, like 268, 269, some number like that. And so that seems about commensurate with everything. Didn't he lead the league in passing yards last year as well?
I believe that's right.
So, I mean, that's a pretty high number, and the Bills have their questions on defense. But you're still, like, to go higher than that, you are expecting either garbage time, I guess that could be possible, but you're expecting the Dolphins to get theirs, you know, through the air. So, Allen, though, every Bills fan knows how he has dominated Miami. Like, that's just sort of fun for everybody to think about. It is 11 out of 12. The Bills' last loss to the Dolphins, other than the one that was played on the surface of the sun, is Charles Clay, back when Allen was a rookie. It would have been his first start against Miami, and they were like inches right on that play beating them then.
Yep.
Later that season, this is 2018, the Bills hammered him here, end of that year. So, I mean, he's crushed them. Last five games against the Dolphins, passing, including playoffs, if it does. I think the middle one of these games is a playoff game, yes. Passing yards, 359, 320, 352, 304, 400. That's 15 touchdown passes, four picks. He was intercepted twice in the Week 18 game, but still, 30 for 38. This was a 21-14 win.
Yeah, I
30
know.
For 38, 359, 2-2.
You're rattling off those numbers, and I thought, I'm going to go look at last year's game, the Week 18 game, because I knew it was a lower scoring game. I'm surprised to have to look it up that he actually threw for 359 in that game, despite such a low scoring game.
Like,
kind of like Tua last week.
And this is where, you know, we're all talking about Diggs being in decline and Davis doesn't do anything anymore, still to have that game. Anyway, to get to it, his number tomorrow night at that site is 244. So you can either what to that?
You can hand, yeah.
244.
Hammer the, what do they call them there?
Hires.
Hires. Hammer the higher.
Or, you know, over. I'll keep it just over. Right? Just FanDuel, over.
Okay.
You could do that. Or really, like, take last week into account and do so, like, league-wide, where so many quarterback numbers were lower. Allen last week was 232. They scored 34 points. 232. This game in Miami, they scored 21, 359. So how different is the team? And, you know, the matchup's probably mostly the matchup with respect to the Dolphins. Interesting to think about how you'd want to play that. Like, does he continue to lord over them? And especially if Tua is successful, and then Miami is scoring, so you kind of have to throw the ball.
Right.
Then you could see some numbers. But just what – I continue to think a lot about the Bills and just the league overall. What is happening right now in terms of passing offenses? And we've beaten to death the changes to the Bills roster and to their philosophy. You know, we kind of thought – I certainly did. What does that all add up to? And through week one, it's, you know, as they told us, spread the ball around, but the numbers don't add up to a lot. And it's, you know, more on the ground. And then it, ultimately, as usual, it's up to Allen to make it work, you know, jumping over people for touchdowns and, you know, trying to survive another season that way.
Yeah, I would expect that if the Dolphins, and I you know, I'm anticipating. I said the same thing last week, and the Cardinals started well, but really they did not move the ball. They're totally, what are they, like 270-something for the game, I think, even, Arizona. So they did not, you know, move up and down the field on the Bills after really the first quarter and a half or so. But still, so I'm about to say the same thing about Miami. Like, I would expect Miami to move the ball. Well, I think that is a proven, capable, great offense. Whereas Arizona, I was just sort of speculating that they could be great, and maybe they will be. So I think if Tua gets his, and I anticipate that he will, have enough success, like, that would, to me, drag the Bills into that game where Allen is throwing it 45 times because it's kind of a shootout. And maybe you're down by 10 points at some point or worse even. I mean, they're down by 14 last week against Arizona, and you just feel like you gotta throw it. I've said quite a few times here since Sunday that in the meat of the game, right? And we know Allen had two pass attempts almost at the two-minute warning of the first half. From there on, where they scored all their points, they threw it a lot. They threw it up 67% of the offensive snaps from there to that final drive where they got really conservative and ended up playing for the field goal. So they certainly can do it, but I think they're going to need, and they needed to do it because they were behind. And so if the Bills can somehow contain the Dolphins, if they can do some of what Jacksonville did to the Dolphins last week and keep them down, then I would predict lots of James Cook and modest numbers for Allen, and you just go, you know, just go down there on a business trip and get out of there with a win. But if the Dolphins get loose on offense and Hill and Waddle make a couple of plays and it gets to be, you know, pinball time, then, you know, like, the Bills are going to find out just exactly how much faith they should have in that receiving core, because it may be really tested.
I hadn't heard it put about the end of the game against the Cardinals playing for the field goal, but I think I agree. We've talked about whether they should have kicked the field goal to go up six, mm-hmm. but did they play for it? They didn't throw a pass, right, on right. that last series? So you meant that.
No, I mean that, yeah.
That makes it worse.
That was my bigger criticism than actually kicking the field goal. You know, because fourth and three, you know, up by only three. I understood why they opted for the field goal of death, even though it's got that moniker. But I would have rather, you know, kept the ball longer and tried to score a touchdown, but they kind of turtled there. The third down play especially, it doesn't even look like a play. It just sort of looked like get in line for a field goal.
Yeah. And like the game is about to end.
Yeah. Like, this is a game-winning kick or game-ending
right.
kick.
Right.
I absolutely meant played for the field goal because I think, I don't know, I think it's almost inarguable that's what they did.
You can only go so far with, like, what if they had lost? You know, they didn't lose. It counts. But, man, that we'd just be destroying that if Arizona.
Oh, my gosh.
If Murray hits Marvin Harrison on that one play, mm-hmm. and the Bills don't pull the game
or
out after
Ingram
that.
Or gets called for interference or whatever. Or they miss the field goal and Arizona ties it with a field goal of their own.
Yeah. That remains. I mean, the Bills won the game, and so it just goes away mostly. But that remains, like, sort of the big, one of at least the big questions about the Bills and McDermott is just, like, those edges. And we talked a little bit about this, but he said in one of the press conferences, you know, to Sal's question, I think it would have been Sunday, he's like, yeah, what would the analytics guy say about that? You know, sort of mocking it. And so, you know, I tweeted it. He's implying that he knows it's bad math to kick there. And if he even sort of set up for it, I just, that's a little scary, but not necessarily wrong to say. Allen, by the way, this I didn't remember, but in that playoff win against Miami, was sacked seven times. Three games in his career, he's been sacked seven times. That one, Lambeau.
Oh, boy, yeah.
His third start in the league, shutout loss. And that Seattle game you loved.
Oh, the Seattle game here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved, because that for me was the moment that I decided, okay, this team is really they're for real. They're a contender.
Seven incompletions, seven sacks.
Wow.
31 for 38, 415 and 3, but seven sacks in that game. That's the most he's ever been sacked in the game. Those three examples. All right, how do you feel about tomorrow? How run happy will this team be? The field goal point from Sunday, although it's kind of ancient history, I guess, as the Bills are up again tomorrow night in Miami. 803-0550, Armando Salguero today at 4. Paul Hamilton will join us late in the show as we have a prospects challenge at the end of the week. And so we're that close to hockey. Chat with Paul here while we have the chance tonight. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Look forward to hearing from you next. This is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.